Paul Weller, the leader of the Jam and the Style Council, is our guest today. He has a recently released box set summing up his career thus far called Hit Parade. He'll play live in just a bit. His conversation with the Cafe's Michaela Majoun begins with a discussion of his band, The Jam, and their position in the London punk scene in the 1970s.
Yeah, we were kind of sort of cold-shouldered, really, by there. Kind of hip sort of in crowd, but that's okay, you know.
Who are we talking about here? Are we talking about Johnny Rotten?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there's a very kind of trendy, cliquey sort of scene, the original punk thing, and it was kind of very art school led, quite middle class, not quite the opposite of what it became or what people would kind of feel it was anyway. But that's okay because it gives us something to sort of to kick against, you know, and you need those things when you're younger anyway.
So what were you guys like? What was it like growing up where you did?
It was suburbia. It was kind of, you know, it was half city, or not a city, but half town, and they also had this kind of very beautiful rural side to it as well. So, yeah, it was kind of right in the middle, really, right in between.
You've been called the mod father. So what was the mod scene like? Can you explain it for us?
No, it's impossible. See, as someone's once said, the secret's still locked up, you know. I mean, it's just a code. It's a code of living and thought and the way of dressing and the music you listen to and an attitude. But to try and define it, I think it's very difficult, really, because it's kind of always expanding and over the kind of course of sort of 40 years or more, it's always kind of evolving as well, and it's always changing. And that's part of the kind of attitude and kind of part of the philosophy as well, I suppose.
I thought the mod scene was like in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, well, that's when it kind of really started in the 50s. And the word actually comes from modernists, because originally they were kind of modern jazz fans. And they took their cue from people like Miles and, you know, Satorli as well. And there was also like a heavy sort of French and Italian influence in terms of cut of clothes. Because, you know, you have to kind of sort of imagine England as a very austere post-war country and very drab. So yeah, kind of looking to the continent really for influences, and also the kind of sort of American, I suppose, Brooks Brothers kind of sort of look as well, you know, it's kind of a bit of that incorporated. But like I say, but I mean, you know, that's the kind of roots of it all, but it's kind of, it's forever, ever growing and expanding, and it changes all the time, I think, and it can be whatever you want it to be, I suppose.
So there still is a mod scene in Britain?
There is around my house, anyway, that's for sure.
Good answer. And how did you rise to such prominence in it? Have you heard that term, the mod father?
Oh, I hear it all the time, yeah, but that's okay. But it could be worse, you know. There's a lot of other worse things to be called, really. But I don't know. I don't really think about it, really. I mean, it's not something I can take seriously, is it? You know. But yeah, it could be worse.
We're going to hear some music today, and one song, at least, from the new retrospective, the A-side retrospective, that was on your album Wildwood, which is one of your solo albums that came out in the 90s. So let's hear it. Can you tell us about Foot of the Mountain?
I don't know what to say about it, really. It's kind of an English folk song, I suppose.
Okay, then let's just hear it.
Dream on the ocean, always drifting away, but I can't hold on, she just slips away. Sometimes our great notion can steal you away, so we do devotion so strong to desire. Come on, come on, baby, let me ride. Take me off on your sailboat ride. Come on now, angels, I'm on your side. She slips away and she never stays. my fingers, she's gone. My fingers, she's gone. At the foot of the mountain, such a long way to climb. How will I ever get up there? But I know I must try. Come on, come on, baby, let me ride. Take me off on your sailboat ride. Come on, our angels, I'm on your side. She slips away and she never stays.
That's Foot of the Mountain from our guest today, Paul Weller, who has a new album called Hit Parade, a collection of music from his incredibly wonderful career. And we were talking about the punk days back in London. You're someone who's moved your music into various directions, punk and rock and new wave and pop, and then you really embraced soul music. You have a voice that is made for singing soul music, don't you think?
Well, it's very nice of you to say so. I don't know if it's me to say, but hopefully I do. Yeah.
How did you first hear Motown and American soul music?
Well, just on the radio, I guess. You know, I mean, probably from like sort of, you know, the mid '60s onwards, and yeah, I mean, you know, Reach Out, I'll Be There, and things like that. You know, the Four Tops. I mean, that was a kind of. There were big records on the radio at that time, and that would be my first kind of introduction to it. And I suppose the other thing is, you know, like. You know, being like a sort of Beatle fan or Stones fan, you're kind of hearing like sort of the songs that they were covering, whether it's the Shirelles or Smokey or, you know, so you kind of sort of enter it that in that way, I think, sometimes. You kind of, maybe years later, went and sought out the, you know, the original articles as well, and that's kind of, you know, another way of getting into it, I suppose.
So you loved the sound and you incorporated it into your own music, and... It seems as though your voice really hasn't changed over the years, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah. I mean, I think it's sort of changed, but I think, you know, for the better, really.
In what way?
Well, I think it's got more kind of a body to it now than when I was a kid, you know. But I mean, that's just sort of, I think that's just sort of singing for 30 years.
We're talking with Paul Weller today on the World Cafe. And you went into some directions with your music that your fans and your record label didn't necessarily follow. And I'm wondering about what the period was like between the Style Council and then when you did Paul Weller Movement.
Well, we kind of, with the Style Council, it all came to a sort of to a halt at the end of the 80s. And I think really more than anything else, we kind of lost interest, the band lost interest. But I think, yeah, and I think consequently our audience lost interest as well, you know, you kind of, it goes hand in hand, obviously. And I was just getting into lots of different types of music, you know. We made this, an album of sort of kind of what people were calling garage or sort of deep house music at the time, which the record company rejected. They didn't want to put it out. They thought it'd be kind of like the real... It'd be the end of my illustrious career. And so, yeah, that was kind of it. So we parted ways. And then sort of a few years later, they had to put it out anyway. They did a big box set thing and they put it out in the end anyway. So that was quite nice. But anyway, yeah, so then it was kind of like a bit of wilderness years. But I mean, it was a time of total inactivity for me, you know. But then at the same time, I had my first son as well. So other things took music's place, you know. But it kind of took me a sort of couple of years to kind of get back into it, really, and just to start to play live again, and just to find my muse, and just getting back into it generally, really.
And then you created the Paul Weller Movement, and that music was different from what you'd been doing toward the end there with Style Council.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Well, it just became a bit more... I've tried to make it more organic again, because I, along with most other people in the 80s, got caught up in that whole digital recording technique, and, you know, people weren't using the shop floor anymore. You know, people were recording in the control rooms on little boxes and drum machines. And so I just tried to get back to what it used to be like, and that is just to set up a band in a room and record live.
And that's something that's in favor now. A lot of people are getting back to less of the electronics and just kind of doing it straight through with old recording equipment. Another thing that you're embracing now is you're putting out singles.
Right. I mean, I think it's a shame because the single as an art form is pretty much sort of gone, really. And the whole thing with downloading now has kind of sort of probably sealed its fate completely, I guess. But it's a shame because I'm a real sort of a believer in that thing of, you know, the magic of hearing a single, of fitting something into 2.5 or 3.5 minutes and making the arrangement compact and all those fantastic records, you know, from whatever time. And I just think there's something very clever and creative about that, you know, and I think it'd be a shame if that goes.
I was kind of thinking that the downloading of single songs has kind of brought it back.
Right, well, hopefully it will do. But, I mean, just actually people going out to buy, you know, a single on Monday morning, which doesn't really happen anymore.
Right. There's a lot of...
to get that buzz and that excitement that you're going to, you know, after the weekend you're going to go and get this record. I mean, but it's... Okay, that's progress anyway.
There's a lot more music around now, that's for sure, and it's very... You're right, it's easy to access. And so that kind of excitement probably is gone. Is that something you used to do back in Surrey? Is go to the music store every Monday?
Well, whenever I could afford it anyway, and I would save up to buy a record, you know, but it was just that kind of excitement and just... And I guess even now, you know, with, like, trying to sort of get hold of old records and just that buzz of trying to find something, and then you eventually find the copy of the record you've been looking for months or years, you know, that's real... So it's just an excitement in that.
You don't find the same excitement Googling on the internet?
I don't even know what Googling is, do you know what I mean? I thought it was like a sort of... I don't know what it is, really. I've no idea. I mean, I've heard the term sort of thrown around, but I'm not really... I'm just not really hip with all the... the internet thing. I just don't really... I don't understand it.
Paul Weller is here with us on The World Cafe. You mentioned that during that hiatus period in between musical intensity, you had your first son. How many kids do you have now?
5.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are they interested in music?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, my two oldest kids were both sort of teenagers, but they're both really passionate about music. I mean, and they kind of play, but I don't know whether they're going to do it. I don't know. I've no idea. I mean, they're too young to sort of know what they want to do, I guess. But I mean, all my kids. I mean, like most human beings, really. I mean, you see, I notice with my young children that music is just a natural thing for most people. I think it's, you know, I've got a really young son. He's only like he's not even 2 yet. But he's just mad for music, and you can see it's just in our souls, really. I think for most people, I think.
What would you like to play for us?
Okay, well, this is a song off the last proper studio album, which is called As Is Now, and it's a song called I Want to Make It All Right.
I want to make it all right. All right between us two. I wanna put things right on this ground before our time is through. I wanna be the kind you wanna come home to. I wanna be the one who gets to make it with you. Try to love than I ever done before. I wanna make it all right. I wanna make it all right.
up and say, I'll always love you this way. I don't want you feeling blue at the end of the day. Try to put some goodness back before this good thing goes. I wanna make it alright. I wanna make it alright. Straight back like a slave to sorrow, soon will come away. Like a stone tomorrow, cutting through the day. Ah, soon bits fly away, only to find me meet. I'm getting itchy feet. I wanna make it alright. I wanna make it alright. Than I ever done before. I wanna make it alright, alright between us two. I wanna put things right on this ground before our time is through.
That was I Want to Make It All Right, and it's from the album As Is Now. Our guest today is Paul Weller here on the World Cafe. You recently did some retrospective shows in New York City, and there was a time that you canceled a whole North American tour. Why was that?
I don't know, because I can't remember, to be honest, but it's probably financial reasons as usual. But I don't know, to be honest with you.
What I'm trying to get at is that you became a huge sensation in Britain, and America was a little slower, I think, to grab hold.
That's a very polite way of saying it, yeah. But I think it's, I don't know why. I mean, I have no idea why I've not been successful in America. I mean, I don't lose sleep over it either. I mean, it's just, you know, it is what it is. I don't know why that is. I have no idea.
But I'm sure.
Competition.
But your recent shows, I'm sure, were very well attended.
Well, I mean, the shows are always great in the States. I mean, we've always, however small the audience is, it's very passionate and committed, and just never sort of translates to, you know, anything else, record sales or commercial success. But, you know, but the gigs are great.
It must have been gratifying for you to win the Lifetime Achievement Award in Britain. It's the comparable to what the Grammys have. I guess it's called the Outstanding Contribution to Music Award. Mm. At the Brit Awards.
Bearing in mind, right, that the Spice Girls won it 3 years before.
So what that
means is anyone's guess, you know.
What does it mean to you?
Well, it meant I had 6 albums in the top 100 the week after. That's what it meant to me. So
wow.
That, you know.
There's that
but
money,
I mean,
thing rearing its head again.
It's not, yeah, well, it's, you know, unfortunately, because a lot of times it comes down to, but...
But it comes down to so much more with you, Paul Weller. I mean, you are one of the most influential British musicians ever.
Thank you very much. But, you know, but all those awards, that's what I'm saying is, I mean, they're nice, you know, and I would probably have more things to say about it if it wasn't the fact that the Spice Girls got one, or, you know, or take that, get an inspiration award. I mean, it's just nonsense, isn't it? You know, it's just sort of negates the whole sort of thing for me.
Well, forget the awards for a moment. How about,
good,
like, Brit pop bands that became huge after you, citing you as a major, huge influence on them, like Oasis, for instance?
Well, that's always nice. I mean, that's a great compliment, isn't it? And, you know, there's even sort of even younger bands that are around now, contemporary bands, who say the same sort of thing, which is, I mean, which is pretty amazing for me, you know, that a kid of sort of 19, 20 sort of just digging my stuff.
You're timeless.
Possibly.
Do you go, I mean, I don't mean to make you sound like you're 80 years old. You're not that old. But
no, not far off it, though.
But you have had a career that spanned a few decades and a lot of different styles of music. Do you go and hear those younger bands?
I do whenever I get a chance, yeah. I mean, and some of them I get to play with them as well. You know, I mean, I've been asked by a few people to come and play some tunes with them, which is great, you know. I mean, I don't slavishly sort of follow what's happening, but I mean, it's just, there's an awful lot of good music around at the moment, and I don't think you can help but be inspired by it, you know, whatever age you are. If you're still into music, then you're going to be influenced and inspired by it, you know. I think even in America, because, I mean, I thought American music was pretty dire for a long time, but I think in the last few years, you know, with the Strokes and Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs and Kings of Leon, people like that, you know, it's just a good time for music in general, I think. My favourite young singer in England at the moment is Amy Winehouse. I think she's pretty amazing, really. She's the real deal. And she's got the attitude as well, which is always nice. But I don't know if you know her music, but she's great anyway.
I'll have to look it up now. Which attitude is that?
Well, I can't really say it on the radio, I don't think, really, but I think we all know what sort of attitude we mean.
Is it like Lily Allen attitude?
Is that, that vibe, yeah. I mean, she's great as well. I really like her. And, it's just nice to see people with that kind of attitude and not this kind of, you know, fabricated, marketable rubbish that's around as well. But it's just, just real people and saying real things.
You've been writing songs for so long. How, it seems like there's a never-ending inspiration.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I never know what to say about writing because it's just a very natural thing for me, you know. And I never give it too much thought where it comes from or why I'm doing it. It's just, I just know I should be doing it and I need to do it.
So they just roll out of you?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're lucky. I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes it doesn't at all. But it generally speaking, it always, even if it goes away for a while, it comes back to me. But I think it's like I said to you, you know, before, with the music that's around at the moment, I think it's a very, very inspiring time musically, you know. And I think, you know, I still love music, you know, I'm still a fan, you know, whether it's sort of old music or new stuff. So I just love music generally, and it's just my life.
Roll Along Summer, is that was that a song that was typical in the sense that it kind of rolled out?
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was a spell before I did As Is Now, there was a spell where I didn't write for like 18 months or so. And I kind of purposely just sort of left it alone and didn't even try to write. And then out of that period, I just sort of wrote sort of in a space of like a couple of weeks, I wrote sort of 6 or 7 tunes and they just seemed to be sort of just flowing really. And Roll Along Summer was one of them, yeah.
Great, can we hear it?
Sure can, yeah.
Summer, whispering through my window pane, wake me up and hold again with a sway. Skate upon something, get me up and out of bed, put a vol right through my head. You've been down and out of blue, take no notice of the moon, shame. Old man River's after you, said you ain't done what you said you would. It's a shame, it's a shame. Summer,
place that wasn't there before. Oh, forever in your shadow. It's a darkness I can face, but I feel I find a place somewhere behind. You've been down and out of blue, take no notice of the moon shade. Old man River's after you, said you ain't done what you said you would. It's a shame. Shame, shame on you if you can't dance too. Shame on you. Roll along, beautiful lover. Show me things I've never seen.
Roll Along Summer, finishing up our session with Paul Weller. Our thanks to Paul and to Michaela Majune. Once again, Hit Parade is that new collection of Paul's work out. Lucinda Williams' new album is here as well. We'll get to a track when we get back here to the World Cafe.